You can find my podcast and other podcasts similar to mine on the Christian Podcast Community at podcast.strivingforeternity.org.
The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
Good morning, podcast world. Good morning to my listeners. Welcome back to yet another episode of The Ear. And thank you for joining us as we're trucking along through the season of Lent together, Protestant style. I am blessed to have the Reverend Dr. Gary Dawson join us as we move forward with this discussion entitled, Who is My Neighbor? Dr. Garrett is the pastor of First Pres Baton Rouge for those that are just joining the series. And he just did a guide to help us navigate through Lent called Asking Jesus. So we're going to hit some of the hard questions and we're going to tie in, you know, why Lent is important and what we can do during this season of Lent. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and dive right on into this topic of who is my neighbor. Good morning, Dr. Garrett.
Hey, good morning, Brandon. It's great to be talking with you again.
I am enjoying this series thus this far. All right. So we're talking about who is my neighbor, and that is based out of Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, the Good Samaritan story. Go ahead and unpack that for us for a little bit.
Sure. Well, today we've got one of our most, one of Christ's most famous parables, in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Even non-Christians know that phrase, oh, Good Samaritan, that's someone who does good for people in need. What I love is to think about the context of the time that caused Jesus to tell that parable. So we read at the start of this passage that Jesus was teaching and a lawyer came up to him. And by lawyer, it doesn't mean someone who works for what we'd say a law firm today. That would mean more like a theologian, an expert in the scriptures, someone who knew about the Jewish law. He came up to Jesus with a really interesting question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, what part of the law do I have to keep to get in on all the good stuff? Now, Luke reminds us that this lawyer was doing it to test Jesus, maybe to try to trip him up, maybe to get Jesus to say, you know, something down a side road that wasn't really the truth, or in some way they could trap him. So he just asked Jesus, you know, what's the key to life? How do I get eternal life? Now, Jesus, who was remarkably smart and could immediately kind of sense where people were, turned the question back on him and said, well, what do the scriptures say? How do you read them? In other words, I'm not going to show you my cards till you show me your cards. So you're the expert in the Old Testament. Give it to me. So the lawyer replies with one of the most famous passages in the Hebrew scriptures, Deuteronomy 6:5, that every good Jew would have recited every day. Hey, the Lord our God is one. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's an obvious answer. And then he added something from Leviticus, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, that's a good little montage. You know, he kind of mixed, and correct me if I'm wrong, the book of Deuteronomy, is that also a book of law, the law book as well?
Deuteronomy literally means second law.
Second law,
so,
yeah.
So if the first law was given, you know, to Moses on the mountain after the Exodus, 40 years later, when they'd wandered through the wilderness and were on the edge of the promised land, Moses repeated all the laws and used some fresh language. So in the sense, it was the second giving of the law right before the people went in to the promised land.
Right. And the Leviticus is the Levitical law, correct?
Yes. And it's not easy reading, as anybody knows.
No, I read the Bible in a year. Well, actually, it wasn't a year. I kind of finished it before the year end. But the two hardest books for me, during that time frame was the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Leviticus was the worst. But there's some good stuff in the book of Leviticus.
There is, including to let us know that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. That's
right.
Pretty important.
Right. Now, what I will say is, you know, yes, a lot of people, even non-Christians, have heard the term Good Samaritan, because here in Louisiana, for sure, there is a law called the Good Samaritan Law. And the way the law actually works is how it's basically the story in the Bible. If you come across an accident and, you know, you get out and you attempt to pull a person from a burning car, but you end up breaking their leg and they lose a finger in the process because you're trying to save their life. I'm not gonna say you can't be sued. It's going to be hard to sue a person that saved your life.
Right.
But you cannot be charged criminally if that person was to pass away. You know, so
right.
Louisiana even has the Good Samaritan law. So, yeah, it is a common phrase used sometimes in not good context. And I will admit that. But that law actually does mimic the story in the Bible, just in modern day term or modern day action, if you will.
And it's protective of people who want to help folks.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
How grateful we are for the Cajun Navy, you know, that didn't wait for official authorization when we had the flood of 2016. And they just went in, drove their boats down the flooded streets of Baton Rouge and got people out of their houses and saved their lives.
Yeah.
You know, I do love that about Louisiana people, that they want to care for folks.
Yeah. Just like when we, you know, prime example, and this story does fit the Good Samaritan, if you will. When I worked for my previous agency, I think I was down at South Lafourche High School dealing with a case where somebody, you know, named their hotspot after the Columbine. So they sent me there to investigate. Well, leaving, I'm like, the sky is getting dark. I don't like driving in the rain. I need to get back to Lockport.
Yeah.
I kid you not. I get to the office, get out my car. I hasten to the door. As soon as the door closes behind me, the sky falls out.
You know, wow.
That's crazy. And I go to my desk and, you know, I have nothing fancy planned. I'm just typing reports, trying to close out some cases. Typical office work day.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we hear on the radio about an hour later that a vessel capsized. Well, first we hear an 18-wheeler flipped on the bridge. And then shortly after we get that the vessel capsized. And I go home at 5 o'clock, and later that night around 10:30, I get a phone call to drive down to Fouchon and assist as chaplain with the families that had loved ones on that vessel.
Oh, wow.
Right. And that little project, if you will, turned into my full-time job for at least, I think, a week and 3 days, per se.
Oh,
where,
wow.
Where I was down serving as chaplain, even though I'm a detective, but I'm serving as chaplain, which is what I love doing, helping people. And I'm just trying to show them the love of Christ, trying to, you know, help them understand why their loved one isn't coming back, or,
wow,
you know, which was very hard for me. Like, there's nobody that can tell me that doing this kind of job, that's easy, telling someone that the loved one isn't coming back and then trying to give them hope and recite scripture to them and pray with them when they're angry that their loved one is dead.
Oh, that's really hard stuff.
You know, but thinking like a good Samaritan, I still have to do it. I still have to give this little bit of light, if you will, in a dark place, in a dark time.
Yeah. You're right, and you've got to go without thinking about it. You know, as we get into the story more, I mean, the Samaritan didn't hesitate and stop and ponder, what are the implications of this? Who is this person? I mean, he felt compassion, he acted. Well, just a little bit back to the story, right? So the lawyer asked Jesus, what do I do to get eternal life? Jesus says, well, you tell me. He says, well, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, hey, you're right. Do these things and you'll live. So in some ways, Jesus doesn't take it any further. He's just saying, hey, here's what you must do if you think that doing something is how you get everlasting life. And the lawyer, who's thought about this a lot and realizes it's a lot to ask of somebody, he asked the question, well, who is my neighbor? That's the question he asked of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And what he really wants to know is, who is not my neighbor? In other words, you know, I'd like you to tell me that my neighbor is just the people that live on either side of me, because then I only have a few people to help. Or I'd like you to tell me that non-Jewish people are not my neighbor, so I can leave them on the roadside so that I don't have so many people to help. Believers who've gone apostate or become heretics, well, they're not my neighbor anymore either. He wants to limit it so he can have more personal peace and affluence, more time to himself, and still keep his eternal life. I got everything. I got time and I have God. So he says, who's my neighbor? That's the trigger for Jesus to tell him the story. He says, well, let me tell you a story. So there was a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan who were traveling on the same road. And that would have blown at people's minds right then, because most stories begin, there's the priest group in society, there's the Levite group, and they're the everyday common Israelites. But instead of talking about Israelites, Jesus is talking about Samaritans, the people who are despised. They were considered half-breeds who had kind of had the Hebrew scriptures, but they also had some syncretistic ideas from other religions. You know how there's nobody you hate more than someone who's almost like you but is not? They really hated Samaritans. So he tells this story of a man was traveling on the Jericho Road. And the Jericho Road was a very narrow pass that descended about 3,000 feet over 17 miles. So it made a steep road. And it was notorious for there being robbers along this road. Well, the man was waylaid by robbers. He was beaten. He was stripped of his clothes. He was completely robbed. And he was left there half dead. A bad scene. This guy has been attacked by robbers and left. And we don't know who he is. We don't know if he was a Jew or a Gentile, good man or a bad man. He was just a man who'd been attacked. So along comes one of the priestly class, one of the elites, you know, a child of Aaron, who gives sacrifices in the temple. And he sees the man, and he no doubt is going all kinds of thoughts in his mind. I got to get to the temple. I don't want to be made unclean by touching a Gentile. I don't want to be made unclean if the guy is dead. I better avoid this because I have important things to do. So he goes around. And then the Levite comes, who's from the tribe of Levi. So Aaron's was from the tribe of Levi, but he's kind of like middle class, you know, and he's got temple work to do also. And for whatever reason, he says, I'm not doing it. And then, as we know, along comes the Samaritan, the unexpected. I mean, Samaritan would have been so unexpected that if in 1944 in Nazi Germany, you'd said, along came a good Gestapo guy, it would have shocked your readers. Or if you were in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania in 1863 and said, along came a good rebel soldier, what? Or today, if you said, along came a good Russian, you know, we hate the Russians now. This just blows our mind. Or a good supremacist. You know, if you told that story in Ferguson, St. Louis, it's like, whoa, this doesn't compute. These guys are always bad.
Right.
And so, all right, so the Samaritan, he has compassion on him. And you just can't get over the fact that that word used in the New Testament for compassion means feeling so deeply you have to act. And it's only used 12 times in the whole New Testament. And every time it's either about Jesus or about someone in a story Jesus told. It's never about an ordinary person. It's a godlike quality to see and to care and to act. So the Samaritan has compassion, and he pours oil and wine on the wounds. He binds him up. He puts the man on his own horse. No easy thing lifting up a completely dead weight person. You've probably experienced that in your work, Brandon.
Yeah.
People are heavy. Takes him to the inn, pays for his care, and promises to come back. Great story. And then Jesus answers a different question than the lawyer had asked. The lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? Jesus asks him back, which one acted like a neighbor? It's like, I'm not going to tell you who's the neighbor that should be cared for, I want you to tell me who really acts like a neighbor. And the lawyer knows he's trapped. He goes, oh, I guess the one that showed mercy. Right, says Jesus, why don't you do that also? So it slams us with, the question is not who should I help? The question is, what does it mean to be a helper in God's kingdom?
Yeah. And then look, reading further in that reading, you know, you talk about the walls of Jericho, when the walls of Jericho fell. And if I may, I want to make another connection.
Sure.
The harlot, during the time that they marched around Jericho.
Yeah.
Was Rahab. She? Yeah. Was Rahab not being a neighbor?
Right. Yeah. She's in the great hall of faith in Hebrews 11. And she was your Samaritan equivalent, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Good pull, Brandon. She was a pagan, bloodthirsty pagan, and she was a harlot.
And you know what else is funny? She is in the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen to that.
So, you know, when we sit here and we think, you know, just like last week, we talked about Zacchaeus. What can God do with such a person like me? Well, look what he did with Rahab, who is not and was not even a Jew, but she was a neighbor. And God saved her from her life of hell and took her into the fold.
Yep. And she saved God's own people and got them out, letting them down, you know, by the cord from the city walls.
Yeah. Amazing. That's the that's the real Rapunzel story, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Let down your hair. So here's another connection that goes with that. So, I mean, you pointed out Rahab is an ancestor of Jesus. And then you stop and think, what if what Jesus is really answering the lawyer's question, who is my neighbor? By saying, God is your neighbor. In fact, the Son of God who became a man to seek and to save the lost, he's the one man that acts with real compassion.
Yes.
And you start to see that throughout church history, people have made connections that the Samaritan connects more with Jesus than with me, in the sense that Jesus was an illegitimate child, legally. He was kind of a half-breed. He was not part of the establishment. And he's the one that looks on our need and weeps over Jerusalem. He's the one that calls the sinners and pours out his life and picks us up on his shoulders and carries us like the good shepherd out of our brokenness, out of our sin, to safety.
Yeah. And he's the one that says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah. And we did the worst possible thing.
Yeah.
So what if Jesus is really telling this lawyer, you know what? You can go out and try to be like the Samaritan. You're going to fail because you can't generate that in yourself until you realize, Mr. Expert in the law, Mr. Safely Religious Guy, you're actually the wounded man left on the street who is broken by his own sin, who's exposed for his foul heart, and who is desperately needy, and only God can save you. And once you realize that, then you'll know how to get a heart of compassion like I have. That's it, right. Stops being a should and an ought to tick off your boxes, and it becomes the very passion of your soul.
Yeah. And then what I also like too, you know, going back to Leviticus 19:18, where it says, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we often forget who our neighbors are. Like, let's be honest. When you go to your work, when you go to work, those people that you work with are your neighbor.
Amen.
You know, the people that lives in your, you know, community, those are your neighbors. The people you see in the store, those are your neighbors. Now, I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, to my listeners, because I don't know if you remember, I said I was going to call us to a very unique challenge this week. So keep what I just said in the back of your mind. The people you come in contact with, we're just going to make it broad. Those are your neighbors. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, who's asking? Who's asking who's our neighbor? Obviously, we are. You know, in the story of the Good Samaritan, the lawyer was asking that. So we know the answer to that. We know who's asking. So My question to you, Dr. Garrett, is what's the question within the question?
Yeah, question within the question is, what does it really take to get right with God and do His will? And the question within the question Jesus answers, meaning, what is the God who is your neighbor really like?
Right.
Well, who's God? Mm. Who is God to us?
Yeah.
And once you know Him, then he's calling you to more. Hey, I want to hear about your challenge, though. That sounds intriguing.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually read a prayer that you wrote, and it's actually from day 17, if you will. And the prayer reads, and I'm going to do it in my Morgan Freeman voice. Okay, I'm joking.
There you go. Okay. It sounds good.
The prayer says, Lord Jesus, we are wounded along the way. The great liar and the thief tempted our first parents, then left us for dead. Such is the human fate without you. Now our hearts are battered. We are exposed in our shame. We are broken in a famine way. We lack the needed skills to improve our own condition. We have no resource which can purchase redemption. We wait helpless and hopeless. Yet, when all seemed lost, you came to us as one of us. You brothered us and you neighbored us. You looked on our lowly estate and felt not disgust, but mercy. You carried us in your heart and on your shoulders from death to life. You spared not your life to save us. So join us to your heart of mercy. Send us with eyes open and hearts soft, time available and the hands ready to extend the compassion and to any still weight laid among the rocks. Send us to search and rescue with your love, the gospel of grace. That is a beautiful prayer. Now, that's one that Dr. Garrett wrote. So here is my challenge. As I said, the people we come in contact with are our neighbors. So my challenge for the rest of this season of Lent, you know, and obviously I want us to heighten up on our prayer and pray more, is that I want each of the listeners that listen to this podcast, listen to this these episodes, from this Friday until the Friday before Easter, is I want you to write a prayer. Every single, you can do it every day. You can do it once a week. You can do it every 2 or 3 days, however you choose. At least do it once a week. I want you to write out a prayer. And I want you to post it on Facebook. And I want you to tag the Ear Podcast in it. And then tag me in it. And let's have a side discussion about the prayer you wrote. Because what I do feel is we can still be good Samaritans through prayer and through conversation with each other. Not just by what can I do for this person that needs my help?
Absolutely. That's a great challenge, Brandon, because that'll get us all adoring Jesus and admiring Him, which is a way of putting our eyes on Him for Lent.
Absolutely.
And blessing others by doing that. That's beautiful.
Absolutely. So that's my challenge. Let's see who will be foolish enough to take that challenge.
Yeah, I want to see those. Hopefully we can talk about it next week.
Absolutely. So any closing thoughts, Pastor Garrett?
Just so glad that we can engage these stories and for all of us to realize that, you know, the stories from long ago are really very presently applicable to us, that we get in these stories and discover that Christ keeps encountering us, keeps calling us to Himself.
Amen. Well, that is all I have. I want each of you to keep asking Jesus for everything that you need. Ask Jesus to help you navigate through the horrors of life, if you will, if you think you are in that state. Help Him, you know, get Him to ask Him to help you get through, you know, not sinning. You know, we're in a season of Lent. We should be lamenting, if you will, you know, because Easter is coming upon us. Yes, that is a joyous time, but let's not forget about the Friday He went to the cross. So That's all I have. I want you guys to keep asking Jesus. Stay tuned to these episodes. Keep reading your daily readings and stay in the Word of God. That is all I have. God bless y'all and thank you for joining us.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.